Yeah, we go. All right. How are we all doing this morning? And how's this side doing? Yeah, okay, good. I'm doing great, just in case you wanted to ask. And we're too shy, but there we go. It's good to see you all. And I trust you're doing well this morning. And we're excited to delve into part six of Immovable Lessons in Daniel. Before I preach this morning, I just want you to know the prophetic words that came this morning weren't like just a good idea, whatever, because none of them actually know what I'm going to preach on this morning, although they know I'm probably going to teach on Immovable in Daniel part six. And I'm saying this up front because I want you to take careful attention of the words that came, especially Kevin's word. And he used the phrase in there, and I thought, there we go. His praise is actually the title of my sermon this morning. And I just thought, man, Holy Spirit, you are so good. I can't just make this stuff up as we go along. And we're going to look at things a little differently this morning. So I had a little bit of angst on the way we're going to do it this morning. But having heard the words this morning, I just say, yes, Lord, thank you. This was the right thing to do, and I'm moving in the right direction. And so this morning, over the last couple of weeks, we've looked into the book of Daniel, and we've gone through a couple of chapters, and we've had our theme verse has been, help with us, which is on 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. And that has been our key script throughout the whole series that we've been doing. And then we looked at, in part one, we looked at the culture conundrum, not bowing down to an ungodly culture. And we live in this culture, and it is toxic, it's ungodly, it is against just about everything we believe in. The second thing we looked at was humility in diversity. And no matter how wonderful you think you are and how you believe you are and how great you are, we have to, in every circumstance, remain humble and never self-elevate, remember, and put Christ first. We always put Christ first and ourselves actually last, not even second. And then we preached on standing strong. And it takes faith to stand strong, encourage, and be faithful and stand strong and to be able to inspire others. And then Kevin did a great job with your handwriting on the wall, by the way. And we looked at your days are numbered, your lives get out of balance, we ignore God's warning and the warnings. And the point is, what are you doing with your time? As we go along in life, what are you doing with your time? And then last week, Janine brought us the amazing teaching on intimacy is the key, and the intimacy with God, and the key is prayer, countering the lies of the enemy and staying strong in Jesus Christ and in our prayer life. Amen? One of the pervading truths in Daniel throughout, and I've mentioned it a few times, was Daniel was an example to us. We always look at the New Testament and look at examples, and just preaching through this one of the truths in Daniel, pervading through Daniel, is Daniel always was an example to us. And no matter what adversity he faced, he was an example to us. And doesn't matter when he was set upon by his enemies or what was going on, he was always respectful, he was always loving, and he was always influential to his circumstance and didn't let things around him get him down. Now, I know there must have been times when he went into his closet and was, oh, Lord, this is just so hard, tough. Well, that's not in the Bible, but just living life. But when he came out and faced the crowds, he was strong in the Lord. And so today, I want to preach on the way of love. Okay, today I want to preach on the way of love. And so I want you to turn to me to the book of Daniel, chapter 6. And when you put your finger there, you can come with me to New Testament, to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So I'm going to start back to front this morning. And we want to have a look at the way of love. In a culture that stand against all that you value, a culture of compromise, love is the answer. Daniel never compromised. He never backed down. He never bowed down or gave in to the pressures around him. Some think he stood on a rock that was immovable, hence the title, and was influenced to his culture rather than being influenced. And I hope this point gets home to you. Living a godly life in an ungodly society, in an ungodly world, we have to understand that we can't back down, we can't bow down, we can't be shifted, we can't be changed. We have to be like Daniel, immovable when it comes to, not arrogant, not prideful, not argumentative, and we're going to go through all that stuff. We got to be humble and loving on the people around us. He stood firm as a rock. But some people think I have to choose that I'm going to stand firm and doesn't matter what happens, so I'm right. Because we like to be right fighters. We want to be right in every aspect. And it actually doesn't matter whether you think you're right, because the other end of the scale says that we have to be stand strong, yep, or to be loving and relevant, then I need to take Scripture and shift it, to change it to mean something to the people we are speaking to so we can fit in with them. Called compromise. Well, no, we can't do that, but I'll tell you what we can do. We can do both. We can live strong and we can stand firm on Scripture in love when we love one another. Okay, we're going to try it again. Bingo, look there. Look at that. Wow, thank you, Mark. Galatians 5:6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Isn't that important? Isn't that good? True salvation, true repentance is not being legalistic. It's not being guided by the law, because the point that when Paul wrote Galatians, he was writing to you foolish Galatians, and he was saying to them, you know, because they made a big thing about the circumcision and being uncircumcised, and they were trying to hold to the law, and Paul is saying, God, it doesn't matter. It has no eternal value. What does have eternal value is living in love, being faithful in love, through our love. It's not how dogmatic we can be, whether we abide by certain rules or try and be right. We cannot, listen carefully, we cannot antagonize and influence people at the same time. You cannot antagonize people and influence them at the same time. Well, let me get up in your face. Let me tell you. And I've been in a place where pastors have gathered together and they've stood up and said, I don't care what you all say, I'll see when we get to heaven, I'll be right. And we think that's a joke. And they're, it's life. No. So, Psalm says, or Proverbs rather, says, you shouldn't even joke about stuff like that. Rather just clap your hand over your mouth. I think King James Version says, just clap your hand over your mouth. I'm having a great time this morning. I'm trying. Anyway. John 13:34, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Now, that wasn't really a new commandment, but I'll explain. Just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. The command is not new, but a special new in a sacrificial love for one another. You know, it's easy to love people when it's not costing you anything. But the minute it starts to cost you something, well, that doesn't become so much fun after a while. We have to learn to actually dig deep. And what Scripture say? Think of others above more highly than others than you do about yourself. Do not think of yourself more highly than you do about others. We have to understand it. And it goes on and says, and all people will know you are my disciples if you have been baptized. No. If you are able to debate and argue well. No. If you can come up with thoughts that will bamboozle the crowd. No. If you talk about people in the church or the pastors down the road, no. If you point out people's fault and you appoint yourself as the church police, no. If you criticize and point out the faults of the church, no. You're getting my point. If you love one another, full stop. Just love one another. Love your enemies, praise those who despise you, bless those who persecute you. And I just want to say, as long as the elders and I are leaders of this church, the Bridge, will be known as a church that loves one another and obeys God's word and walks in his ways and submits to his rule and his reign and walks in the way of love. And I'm saying that with as much love as I can. So without love, all I say is ineffective. We don't want to win arguments. We want to win hearts. If you win an argument, you can go away and punch yourself on the arm or pat yourself on the back and you've accomplished what? Nothing. You made yourself feel good. But how good did you make the other person feel? Society today, let's just face facts, is toxic. It's inappropriate. It's overly opinionated. It's self-righteous. And sadly, too many Christians have fallen into this trap as well. Not at the Bridge. I don't know. I'm just saying. 1 Corinthians 13:1. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Now we know the Corinthians were overly enamored with the spiritual gifts. And Paul is saying, it doesn't matter how you use your gifts. It doesn't matter how spiritual you think you are, or maybe how spiritual you are. He says, when you use your gifts and you do this and you speak in the tongues of men, normal languages, and the tongue of angels, oh, I'll just shandabara sharaba. Oh, he's so spiritual. If you have not love, you're just a gong clashing cymbal. Today, modern parlance, what that means is when you talk to people or you do your gift and you do everything you need to do without love, you're not that person here. Wah, 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 wah. Because heart is not what comes out of the mouth, but what comes out of the heart. I say love is what comes out of the heart. Sorry. Ephesians 4:15. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. Now you know, from the day you got saved, our deal is to become more Christ-like. We want to be Christ-like. Well, how are we doing? And it doesn't matter how long you've been saved, how are you doing in this? Some people think this verse gives them the license to say whatever and whenever they like. Well, I was just telling the truth. Yeah, but you were not helpful in the way you told the truth. We have to understand. We have to, you know, because people just can't couch it into, I'm just telling the truth. I'll just tell the truth. Sadly, society is so opinionated, as I've already said, and so rich in being right fighters, that I don't agree with you, then it means I hate you. And that's not true. Because I don't agree with what you're doing and the way, it doesn't mean I hate you. I still love you, but I actually have enough love for you to tell you that. Well, no, you just hate me. You hate what I'm... No, no, no. That's not it. Sometimes we have that we must just carry on and hate each other, but the point is, what has happened to our society? I can speak my mind whenever I want, as long as I think I'm saying it in love. And I'm going to help you now a little bit. I think a lot of people, one of my hobby horses, never ever passed comprehension at school. And the reason I say that is some people will say something about on Facebook. Oh, no. And then you get this ream of comment And you know that, you remember as kids used to play that broken down telephone thing? We start at this end and someone said something, and when they get to that end, it's nothing even like what it started off. Well, just as these comments go on Facebook, and at the end, it's like, true story. A woman put on Facebook at, tragically, her daughter was killed in an accident when she wasn't watching. Split second stuff. By the end of it, God, it was what a hateful parent you are. On Facebook. I'm going, what? He wasn't a bad parent. He wasn't hateful. People just check their brains and then go, and don't even, I know, I don't even reread what I write, and then Bridget tells me, oh, did you just read what you wrote there? I said, oh, go back, spell check, do the whole thing. It's probably better if we do it the first time around. Anyway, we think we have the liberty to think what we like, but never in Christ Jesus have we the liberty to say what we like. We need to check our brains, check the filter before we let those words come out, because often those words come out and, you know, did I just say that? Yep, you did. Ephesians 4:21, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Our words will either build somebody up or tear them down. Sorry, I can't help notice what goes on in the front row. Either our words will build people up or they will tear them down. And we have to be of a kind that only builds people up, not tearing them down. Thank you. Amen. I know I'm preaching 75% better than you listening, but I'm going for it. We can't just say what we want. We have to consider what our words will say. The second thing, without love, all I know is insignificant. I'm sure you're more than aware. We just experienced it this last 4 days or 5 days. When it's snowing and it's freezing cold out there, we actually like to watch movies. And we were watching the movie and the screen just went blank. What did you touch? Did you touch something? No, I didn't touch anything. The screen just went black. Call, yeah, he's got the remote. Call the man who knows what's going. Shine your flashlight. If there's a picture, by, you know, the whole thing. Do this, do that, do that, do the other. Eventually, Bridget remembered that we paid a maintenance, a 5-year maintenance contract for this thing. It's only 3 years old. So we go, we call them, they come in, the guy tries to switch on, it flickers, and he says, okay, throw it away, it's irreparable. They don't make that one anymore. I said, it's only 3 years old. He said, yeah, we know, throw it away. Praise God for the maintenance thing, because they paid us out and we were able to purchase a new one. Otherwise, we'd be staring at the wall, not knowing what to say to each other. Reading books. Family conversation. I know you're all laughing because you know it's true. Yeah. There we go. So the point I'm making is that doesn't matter how we know technology, every 3 years doubles itself or something like that. So we get a 3-year-old TV and sorry, they don't make that one anymore. We thought we had state of the art. And of course, Louise said, let's buy the curved screen one. I said, yeah, that's a way above my, above my pay grade. Anyway, the problem is that as technology is increasing, society is becoming more depraved. Society becomes worse. I don't have to tell you. You read the news, you watch the news, you see the stuff, this latest shooting down in Florida. Yeah, I mean, like, what? And yeah, this young man's ruined his life forever. And 17 people are dead. I mean, just, and we're just worried about the words we use. Anyway. 1 Corinthians 13:2. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, but have not love, I am nothing. Doesn't matter how smart you are. Paul says to the Corinthians, you can be the most prophetically astute church. You, in your knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom, you are outstanding. But if you have no love, you are insignificant. You are nothing. I was telling someone the other day, when I was preparing this, made me sound about my dad's report when he was school. Went to one of the top schools in Durban. And his report card would constantly go like this. Athletics, outstanding. Rugby, the best. Cricket, top scorer. Swimming, outstanding. Reading, writing, arithmetic, no knowledge whatsoever. He used to joke with us that way. So anyway, it just came to mind. I thought I'd just... Anyway, Paul's saying your knowledge in everything is unsurpassed, yet without love, you are insignificant. It means nothing. Number three, without love, all I believe is insufficient. I believe in Jesus, good for you. If there is no evidence of you believing in Jesus in your life, if there's no expression, no outward showing, no lifestyle of Jesus, you remember what I started off saying, we were called to be Christ-like. If there's no Christ-likeness, well, I want to be like the world. Why on earth would you want to do that? Well, then, I know the answer, so that I can show them that we Christians are normal. We're not meant to be normal. People don't like it when I tell them this. In the Greek word for unique, idioti. You know where you get the English word from, eh? What English word comes out of the... You know, out of all the words, the Greek words, all the English words come, we know that? Out of idioti comes the English word. But in actual fact, what it means is to be unique. Wouldn't you rather be known to be unique than just like everybody else? No, not just like everybody else. We have to, if I don't have love, I'm insufficient in my beliefs. My beliefs are insufficient. I believe in Jesus, I believe in this, I believe in that, I believe in that. And then I go and behave like an idiotie all day long. And the world looks at us and goes, so what's different about you? Well, if I don't have love, if I don't express Christ-like love, I'm insufficient. 1 Corinthians, what did I say? Yeah. If I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. You can have, your faith can be the strongest, but all you become is this unnice, that's such a word. We're going to make it a word this morning. Unnice person to be around. It's insufficient in the kingdom. Number four, without love, all I give is incomplete. 1 Corinthians 13:3, if I give away all I have, but have not love, I gain nothing. You can be generous with a begrudging heart, or you can be generous to try and outshine others. You know, the woman with the one mite that she gave. Well, it was just one mite. It was just a penny. You know, she just gave. No, no. It was everything she gave. It had nothing to do with the amount. Our generosity, and I know we believe in the tithe, but not out of compulsion. One tithe, if you didn't know what that meant, is 1/10 of. But we don't do it in compulsion. We do it because we love and we obey God. Because if you, let me just help you. If you're giving out of compulsion, stop it. I know the elders and especially Dom is freaking out right now. But I'm genuine. If you give begrudgingly, stop. I want to give because of my father. The greatest day in Canada, one of the greatest days, let's put it, was the day that I earned my first salary check and I could run up to the front and put my tithe in the box. It was so exciting for me. And I can regale you with stories and on and on and on. But it says, you can also serve with a complaining heart. Now, if you're serving with a complaining heart, stop it. I mean the complaining part. In generosity, the mouth's not the value, it's the heart issue. It's the heart that counts. It's the love that you do it for. I know Bridget, many years ago, there was a lady that was part of this church. Bridget used to clean the church when we first came here. That's what she did. And a lady came and said, I want to help you. And Bridget then decided, why are you doing this? And the lady says, well, I'm not doing it for you. I'm doing it for Jesus. Wow. That was a revelation. A complaining heart. Not that she did it with a complaining heart, of course. Lucky, my darling, I've got your back. Oish. Number five, without love, all I accomplish is inadequate. People highly value accomplishment in our society today, sometimes to their and their children's detriment. I'm going to say this to the parents. Do not involve your kids in everything that's going on. Find out what they love to do and what they're good at. You know, okay, let's just leave it there. I'll get into too much trouble. 13:3. If I deliver my body up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. How's that for a thought? If I just sacrifice everything, and I think I'm doing it for Jesus, I'm giving everything that I've got, I'm giving it up for everything, and I don't do it with love, it means nothing. Lord, 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 look at us. Depart from me, I know you not. That's a very frightening scripture for me. At the great judgment, when as Christ followers, when we gather, I mean, if you didn't know this, good for you. If you did know this, I'm just going to repeat it. When we as Christ followers get to heaven, there is the judgment. Well, we're not being judged for our sin because Jesus already took all our sins. What we're going there for is to be judged for reward. And he's going to actually say to us, what did you do with my bride? What did you do with your time for the king and the kingdom? And we're going to answer those. We're going to get to answer that. And then he's going to say, enter your rest, and here are your rewards. Here's just the final thought in this section. All my life, minus love, equals zero. Well, I don't really love people. Zero. I don't love what I'm doing. Zero. I don't love the person sitting next to me. Zero. I don't love serving. Zero. I don't love giving. Zero. I made the point. This is what love is. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not incite on its own or its own ways. It is not irritable, Lord help me, or respectful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoicing with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. There is no continuum. So, thanks for that lesson, Mark. But what is the point of what we're doing this morning? I'm so glad you asked. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 6, please. So what is the lesson from Daniel for us today? Well, we see now we're in chapter 6 and a number of years have passed. And Daniel has lived through a few kings. And we're at about BC 537, just so you know. And Daniel is now about 80 to 85 years old. A long time being around there. And he's been through a lot of stuff. He's lived through a number of kings. He's done a few positions. He's not been corrupted. He's remained true. He's remained true to God. He's remained true to his job. He's done everything with excellence, with integrity. He is worthy. But he still has two things against him in the society that he's living. Number one, he's a Jew. And number two, he's an old Jew. He's 85. Well, what makes you say that, Mark? I'm so glad you asked. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps. That means governors. To be throughout the whole kingdom and over them, three high officials, of whom Daniel was one. So here we're setting 120 governors over the whole thing. Three I'm going to select, of which Daniel is one. So we get that. To whom these satraps should give account, so that the king might suffer no loss. So these were trusted guys. Then this Daniel became distinguished above all. So above the three, he now becomes distinguished. All the high officials and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him. I love that so much. I thought there was only one person in the Bible that spoke about, and that was Caleb. And now we have another man with an excellent spirit, because he had an excellent spirit was in him. And the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Then the high officials and the satraps sought to find a ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom, but they could find no ground for complaint or any fault, because he was faithful and no error or fault was found in him. Then these men said, "We shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God." Isn't that amazing? Could this be read of you in your workplace? I'm just saying. If we said, I can say this because I would know it would be true of Chris. Chris, with regard to the kingdom, but they could not find no ground for complaint or any fault, because he was faithful and no error and fault was found. Can people say that about you in your workplace? Can people say that about you in your community? Can the neighbors say that of you? That's quite something. So they gave up and they said, well, let's, in our kingdom, he's okay, but let's find something about him in his kingdom against his God, because we're going to try and do something. He said, Daniel distinguished himself. He had an excellent spirit or attitude, full of love. He handled the kingdom affairs with honor and integrity. Man, I want this guy on my team. Wouldn't you want him on your team? No, you wouldn't. Oh, okay. All right, I'm not preaching well enough there. He was faithful in all he was called to do. Although they went looking for dirt, he was faultless. And no error was found. You know the old saying, well, where there's smoke, there's fire? Well, not with Daniel. There was no smoke and there was no fire. They couldn't find any smoke on him. None of this had anything to do with his looks, with his wealth, his smarts. Just God in him. Just being Christ-like. That's all we have to do. Love. So how do we, in this bowed-down, compromised world, live upright, strong, and immovable? How are we able to walk the way of love without compromise? Now, you're not going to be excited about some of these, but this is the truth. Number one, serve them. Let that just sink in a little bit. Paul writes, 1 Corinthians, "For though I am free from all, I've made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them." And we go, Paul says, I'm free from all things. I don't hold any man. No man holds me. I'm free in everything. Christ has made me free, as came out this morning in the songs we sing. I've been made free in every aspect there is. Yet, Paul says, I choose to subject myself to the rule of someone. That's what that means. Not under law, but under grace. Now, that's a very nice quip that has been thrown out often. However, when you use that, as I've said before, you've missed the point completely. Because it actually does say that we are slaves to Christ. We are bought at a price. When we actually want to say, no, I'm free, I'm not under law, I'm under grace, I can do what I like, you miss the skip of love and you're living in arrogance and pride and self-righteousness. Good example, Luke chapter 9, Zacchaeus. Little Zacchaeus wanting to see Jesus. He was a short guy, wanted to see him. So what did he do? He climbed up into a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the... Anybody know what I'm singing about? There we go. Some of you missed Sunday school. So that was a song we learnt in Sunday school. And so little Zacchaeus climbs up in the tree and he's like, oh, the Lord, I want to see. And the Lord comes past. And what do you think the Lord knew about Zacchaeus? Nothing or everything? Everything. He knew the man was a scoundrel and a thief. He didn't go, hey, you thief. He looked at him and he said, hey, Zacchaeus, come down. Let's go do lunch. I'm coming to your house. The way of love. You see, and then when he got there, and Zacchaeus, all under conviction, was like, Lord, I'm going to give back half of everything that I own. Anybody here want to do that? Anybody here brave enough to give away half of what you own? And in any way, this is coming to salvation, and in any way I've defrauded or I've cheated or stolen from somebody, I'm going to give them back fourfold. That, my friends, is salvation. And salvation comes to the house. We know the story. The point I'm making that Jesus connected before he corrected. We want to rush in and do all the correcting before we even know the facts. We want people to know how right we are before we actually deliver the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Matthew 20:28. Said, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Well, Jesus, you're so amazing, but I don't want to be like you. I don't want to serve like you do. I don't want to behave like that. No, no. Number one, the way of love, serve them. Serve others. Number two, be an example to them. 1 Thessalonians 1:7, so that you become an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. Paul writing to the Thessalonian church. 2 Thessalonians 3. It was not because we do not have the right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. 1 Timothy 4:12. This is the one I love the best. Young people, young adults, let no one despise you for your youth, but let the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Isn't that awesome? Be an example in what, Lord? I'm glad you said it so clearly, Lord. In speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. As the elders and the pastor of the bridge, our heart's desire is to see all serving in some manner, all part of leading or involved in a connect group, all together praying up a storm at 9:57. You've heard that before a little few times. The point is all of God's people owning all of the vision, using all of the gifts, living all of the values to fulfill all of God's purpose, to disciple all of the nations. That's what we hear about. To make King Jesus more famous than he ever was, if that is possible in any short way. The result in that will be growth and maturity, expansion, if we want to say it. Matthew 5:13, it goes on to explain how you are the salt of the earth and the light of the earth and the saltiness and all that kind of stuff. But the point is, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your God Father who is in heaven. Let them see your good works. Oh, look at what a great work I did. No, to be reflectors of Christ Jesus, that they may glorify God and say, he is an idiot for the kingdom. He is unique. He, she, them, they, everybody. We have to bring flavor and influence to our community. Not hiding a light, but being beacons and hope of joy. I've said it once and I'm going to say it again. You know the story about the poor man and you've got to help them and all that kind of stuff? We don't only know where the bread is, we are the bakery. People can come to us and we can give them the bread of life, Jesus. Not what we, not of ourselves, but what of what He is. Why would we not want to do that? Why would we not tell them about Jesus? Examples, not just to one another when we come together and we can do the holy high five and the special, what's it, special hug, the sideways hug, yeah, and all that stuff. And I mean, I'll just leave it. Yeah. The greatest influence we can have in our world is how we live our lives. You don't have to say words sometimes. I think that's what Francis of Assisi said. Not so much what we say, but what we do, how we live, and how we live an example, our Christianity to the world. Last point, close with this. Number one, serve others. Number two, be an example to them. Number three, share Christ with them. Share Christ with them. Because it's not about us. 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. Having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your behavior or revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. Not if, when they slander you. Isn't that exciting? I'm going to share Jesus and people are going to slander me. Hey, you're not convinced. I just say, man, what have we got to look forward? Someone's going to slander you because you share Jesus Christ. Someone's going to revile you because, but we got to do things. We've got to share the gospel with them in gentleness and in kindness and lovingly and with patience. Well, I'm right and you're wrong. You're going to hell. I'm not. That's the wrong attitude. Keeping a good conscience. Hashtag truth. Hashtag truth. When you receive a revelation of the love of Christ, when you know and have experienced the love of Christ, then your capacity to love others will explode into spheres of influence that you have not even considered possible. Shall I say that again? When you receive a revelation of the love of Christ, Lord, show me your love, Lord. If you've never showed it to me, Lord, show it to me now. When you receive a revelation of the love of Christ, when you know and have experienced the love of Christ, your capacity to love others will explode into spheres of influence that you haven't even considered possible. Well, I don't know how to do that. Lord, show me. I'm privileged to live with Bridget and to watch her function in her Ephesians 4 role as an evangelist. Because I'm your proverbial, believe it or not, introvert. I can tell you, we could go out to places and Bridget would come home. She'd say, "Oh, I spoke to this one. I spoke to that one. They got 3 dogs and 2 cats and the dog's names are this and the cat's name's that and this is that and all this, and their house is there, and the dress is there," and she'll say, "Who did you speak to?" I said, "No one." She said, "Did you have fun?" I said, "Absolutely." And then Jesus got hold of me. But I was still this shy, introverted person, and then one day, just contemplating the love of Christ, a switch flipped in my brain, and Bridget, by her own words, will tell you, now she can't shut me up. Now she fights for space to talk. Because before I was like, yeah, no, you do it all, right? We have to get to the place where we have a revelation of the love of Christ, that we can share His love wherever. And that means that what that means is not just talking to you who are consider family, but talking to strangers in airports and places that we go. Understanding God in Jesus Christ serving us, God in Jesus Christ exampling to us, God sharing His Son, Jesus, with us. Romans 5:8. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Take hold of that verse. Chew on it. Mulch on it. Get it into your belly. While I was a sinner, Christ died for us. I didn't have to do anything. No, you didn't. And even today, you don't have to do anything because His love towards us is so gracious. All we do is we say, yes, Lord, I accept You as my Lord and Savior. Jesus, You've come, Master, come into my life. I stand before You, Lord God, and I declare that You are Jesus, the Anointed One. You are my Lord and Savior. Not just my Savior, my Lord and Savior, my Master. Because we get the Savior part, but we forget about Lord and Master. And be like Paul says, I choose to submit myself to someone else. I choose to serve others. I come under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I want to be part of that family, Lord. It goes higher and deeper. Lord, show me beyond my wisdom. Let's just stand together as we close this. I just want to pray for you. And if there's others who would like prayer, if you want to pray, come forward if you're feeling sick. There are those elders who've got oil, they can anoint you. But people pray for you. Father, we just come to You today, Lord God. And Father, I want to be part of Your family that serves others, that is an example to others, and that I will share Christ with others. Jesus, I realize that without love, I am nothing. Everything that I say and do without the love of Christ in me comes to zero. All my life, minus love, equals zero. So I just would say this morning, Lord, I come to You. If this part of today, the prophetic word or the worship or the sermon, touch your heart, why don't you just pray this prayer? Lord, I come to You today, Lord. I honor You, Jesus. I honor You, Father God. Holy Spirit, would You infuse me with Your power? Lord God, I ask for a new authority in my life, Lord God, that I would be bold to share the love of Jesus Christ with others. Father, I come to this morning, Lord, and I say, Lord, give me an opportunity this week. Let there be testimony next week, Lord God, of Your goodness, of Your faithfulness to me, Lord, where I had an opportunity, where I took it, Lord God, where I was able to serve somebody else, Lord God. Where things came against me, but I was an example for You, Lord. I didn't let my light be hidden, Lord. I became salt into the conversation. I brought some flavor for You, Lord Jesus, the flavor of Christ, Lord. I ask this in Jesus' mighty name. All God's people said, amen, amen.